Hey guys, welcome back. So it's been 2 weeks since we've been here. The week before that, we were talking about the week of. So what time is it? I don't know, but Netflix Mix.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
You guys, so on theme, Rickon. So on theme.
There we go.
Yes, who feels this?
This was always
Steve
my
Steve Kaufman doesn't feel this.
No, Steve Kaufman completely feels this.
Feel it.
This is how Steve Kaufman feels music. Very
calmly. Wait. Anna Castiantra Martinez, how does...
She's feeling it so hard. She's not even here. That's
how hard she's feeling. Right.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. I'm Rick Hong. You were watching Netflix Picks. I'm joined by... Mr. Steve Kaufman.
Steve Kaufman, he's here. He's doing the things. He's wearing a jacket.
And Ashley Chaney.
Hi, guys. I'm back. I had surgery and you wouldn't even know it. Here I am. Hi. Good to see you.
All right. So, yeah, it's been not 1 week, but it's been 2 weeks since we've been on air. And I wanted to talk about Adam Sandler.
Ugh.
Good for you.
I mean, yay.
Actually, wait. Who do we have in the chat? Who's tuning in right now?
We've got some repeats. I see Star Drew in the chat. Hey,
Star Drew, what up, man?
We've got Xavier
Clark in the chat. Principio 01 is in the chat. They said hola.
Hola, Principio.
Hola.
I believe you're a first timer, but hala hala.
All right. So, yeah, so before we last left, we showed the trailer for The Week Of, which is Adam Sandler, right. Chris Rock. And I watched. How about you guys?
I watched.
Steve?
A little bit of it.
I was uninterested from the trailer. So my mother tells me it was awful.
No, this is great. This is great because I have seen almost every, not every, but a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
You're a mega. You're a diehard.
And I've always made it through all of his movies. But this one.
You couldn't do it, could you?
Because of the tone.
It was
the
so
tone
bad.
Was all over the place. I was like, is this comedy? Is this drama? No. But it's not dramedy. Mm-hmm. So I was really confused. And when I can't understand the tone of a movie, which felt very much like the movie Dude, it was literally the same thing. I couldn't figure out the tone of the movie. Therefore, I couldn't figure out where I needed to...
Here's how I gauge 20. You know, okay, you guys, I have a very strict 20 minutes rule. I will give you 20 minutes of my life.
I gave it 30.
I will give you 20 minutes of my life for any show, any genre, except for horror, which is great that we have this panel because I just don't do horror. So at least y'all can talk about the horror all you want. But for any other genre besides horror, I will give it 20 minutes. I could not. At the end, I was literally counting down on my time because it was so bad. After 20 minutes, I had not even stifled a chuckle or a laugh or a nothing. 20 minutes in, and I hadn't even like... Once. Anybody out there, have any of you guys watched it in the chat? It was horrible.
Xavier Jones Jr. in the chat said that he hate watched it.
Oh, you hate watched it. Okay.
That's.
I feel you.
I could see that being a hate watch. Like, if someone in my life wanted to see that so bad and I wanted to spend time with that person. Like, if I were visiting my parents in the last week when they said that they watched it and this is what they wanted to see. It's really difficult to get three people to agree on one title in this day and age.
Sure.
That I'd suffer through something like this. But by all attempts at the trailer, it didn't look very good.
No, it's good because we just saved like about...
We're saving your lives.
If you're going according to Ashley, you've saved 20 minutes of your life. If you're going according to me, you saved 30 minutes of that life the line.
I know quickly. That's my.
You don't really know quickly. It's just
I do. If you can't get me in 20 minutes, then I'm not sticking around. Because if you figure that most movies, okay, now granted they're taking a lot of liberties and a lot of movies are around 2 hours now, but a traditional movie runtime is about an hour and 30 minutes. That's almost a third. I'm not great at math, so don't you start telling me how bad I am at math. Like nearly a third of the movie, quarter of the movie, and you haven't hooked me, then it's a waste of my time. And so, for a TV show, let's say half an hour series or a 40-minute show, 20 minutes in, that's like, what are you doing if you haven't gotten me? I will give a little bit of wiggle room for the pilot to not be awesome if it's this pilot in a series. But even then, it's got to be interesting enough to bring me back for episode two. And if you can't do it in 20 minutes, you're not going
to do it. And usually also in this climate, and I know with Netflix it's different, but generally speaking, I like to give a pilot the benefit of the doubt toward a second episode.
Sure, pilots are, we've established that a pilot is much different than the way the series can go because they're still trying to work out their chemistry they're trying to figure out the show, and sometimes the show doesn't come to them until later on.
But even still, even in a pilot, 20 minutes in, I have to be interested or intrigued or laugh or have some sort of compelling reason to come back. And none of that was in the week of. Nothing.
See, the only thing that sparks to my brain
no
then
redemption.
Is if you're talking about movies and TV series, if it's like 20 minutes, I tend to wonder when you sat down on a first date how fast you're like.
You guys should have seen me on the dating scene. I know quick.
Brutal. Because you can't just get up. You can't
turn
it off. That's
a whole nother show, yeah, right? Rick. That's a whole nother show.
I think they have a show here called like Dating, Mating, and something else at AfterBuzz.
I actually have a little timer that I bring with me on the date, and I put on the table, and like you get 3 bells. And on the 3rd bell, you're up.
Oh, man. So...
Hello, I'm a sociopath, and you may or may not be in a relationship with me.
Hi. I'd have to see what Amy says when she gets back, but...
She's a committer. She commits.
She commits 30 minutes. Yeah. She commits 30 minutes. Me, I wanted to commit more, but I'm like, I can't even have this movie on in the background. Yeah. I need something else on in the background rather than this. And it's really sad for me to say that because I don't have high expectations when it's an Adam Sandler film. And maybe it's because I'm so nostalgic, which I'm sure a lot of people are with his older stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've always made it through. But this one, I was just like, and I don't know if I even like when I have the time to even just try to sit there and say, okay, maybe I'll revisit it. Maybe it gets better somewhere down the line. But it's troublesome. It's troublesome. And he still has a couple more pictures, picture deal with them.
Was it 7 or 9 or 15?
I think he had 7 and then it got re-upped for 15. Like, I'll be more on top. I'm not going to quote that as fact, but I feel like it was not that. What was his version of the Hateful Eight? The like stupid 7.
The ridiculous six.
Yeah. Like, because my response to you was going to be, wait, so you sat through all of Ridiculous 6?
Sure.
You sat through all of, what was the one?
The Do-Over?
No, what was the one where he was the agent? Sandy?
Yeah, wasn't it called The Do-Over, I think?
No, the Meyerowitz story? Let me,
for our audience, educate them on the Meyerowitz stories. That is actually Adam Sandler cast in a Noah Baumbach movie.
Exactly.
Not an Adam Sandler produced, written, starring movie that he, you know, has much to do with.
And it's you can tell immediately because there's actually a story
part of his Netflix deal.
Yeah, I was actually talking about Sandy Wexler.
Sandy Wexler was fine.
That was
too.
I
thought Sandy Wexler was the best of these Adam Sandler Netflix movies, and that's not saying very much.
But that's what I'm saying is that with those, I could still get through them.
You could still like have it on in the background.
And this has Chris Rock.
I know. I'm like, Chris Rock. What happened?
But like, you've seen both of the.
Actually, and Chris Rock's performance wasn't bad. I can't even blame it on his performance, just the whole...
But Chris Rock's not above the cash grab that Adam Sandler seems to have found in this town.
Yeah, we all have a career.
I know, I'm not blaming Adam Sandler.
Blessed as Adam Sandler to just basically show up and crap all over. I love you, Adam. If you ever want to make a movie together, I'm down. But it doesn't seem like he has to work
Oh
my God, the one time Adam Sandler tunes in is this.
That's okay. Hey man, we appreciate your hustle. That's the best way to put it.
Yes, I appreciate your hustle.
We appreciate your hustle, sir.
Well, sir.
Okay, so we determined that's a no. And I'm glad that we all agree. And Steve, like I said, we saved you about 20, 30 minutes
thank
of your
you.
Life. So.
Yes. Well, no, thank you for showing me the trailer 2 weeks ago and saved me all the time. I saw the trailer.
Can be wildly off, though. They really can.
So. I agree. I've been sold on trailers that didn't sell me on the movie, but like, I thought that trailer over-delivered, and I was like, there's no way this movie under this Adam Sandler deal could be anything better than the trailer, and the trailer wasn't amazing.
So then here's some good news. So that was 2 weeks ago, last weekend. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. That was last weekend when it aired. And just like Dude was disappointing, I found a sci-fi movie that was Netflix produced called What Happened to Monday, which was great. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened this weekend where this movie called Anon, A-N-O-N, which basically probably stands for Anonymous, had Clive Owen.
Great cast.
Amanda Seyfried.
Great cast.
Did you guys watch this?
Xavier Jones is asking about it in the chat.
Yep. Yes, I watched it and it's... it's basically this. It's Andrew Niccol, who I believe did one of the Black Mirrors.
No,
Andrew Niccol didn't.
Andrew Niccol did. He wrote The Truman Show. That was his first credit. He wrote Truman Show.
Look him up on IMDb. I believe he did one of the episodes for Black Mirror.
Well, he wrote and directed Gattaca. He wrote The Truman Show. He was the story for The Terminal. His first writer, or his second writer-director credit was Lord of War. He also did In Time, which I think is a little known gem.
But maybe these are just films. Let's see if he did some TV.
Well, let me keep talking. You keep looking, and I'll keep talking. So this movie is basically Minority Report meets a Black Mirror.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No spoilers, though, because I think a lot of people haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you evolved the movie Minority Report into more technology-based as opposed to the precogs. The precogs. Then this is what this movie is. I popped it in. I liked
it. You popped
it
in? I don't think that's how Netflix works anymore. I
liked, and so that's a recommend on my end in terms of something that's Netflix produced that was sci-fi, okay. Just like What Happened to Monday. So that's the good part about, at least for the bad taste that the week of left in my mouth, at least Anon, which is a weird title, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you know, it's the cast. Clive Owen, great Amanda cast. Seyfried.
Is it going to scare me? Is it something?
Yeah, scary.
You both said definitively yes, and Rick definitively said no.
It's not scary in the traditional horror sense.
It's not a horror movie.
It's scary in the Black Mirror sense. The heightened.
Is there like music that's like?
No. It's scary in the heightened technology
Steve,
sense.
Steve is okay. Driving you completely the wrong way. No, there is no horror. There is no scary.
I'm saying it's not scary in a horror sense. It's a neo noir.
Is it like, oh, I'm scared, put your arm around me?
No.
It's a film noir based in a near future where everything is augmented reality. I haven't spoiled anything that way.
It's such a good cast that I would be willing to bend my horror suspense film genre for that cast.
Also, this is a sci-fi movie.
Okay. Yes.
Did you like Minority Report?
Yes.
Same thing. You're fine.
Okay, cool. Yes.
Also, Andrew Niccol, just his use of retrofuturism. He has cars that, he has old, really old, classy cars that are powered on electric and, timeless buildings.
Cool.
Just really good filmmaking from this guy. I thought In Time, the movie he wrote and directed with Justin Timberlake, also Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I thought that movie it was incredibly unsung, and I would recommend it, but it's not.
Well, I'm gonna educate our viewers right now. Amanda Seyfried.
Seyfried?
Seyfried. Okay. That's the correct way that you say her last name. Although her sister really says Seyfried. She admitted that her sister says Freed, but it's Frid. Seyfried.
Seyfried, not Seyfried. Seyfried.
Yep.
I just say it really fast. And I was like, Amanda Seyfried. So nobody can.
All right. Hey, but how about someone else? How about our fearless leader who also has a
complicated name?
But it's actually, it really, really isn't. But Steve, you got something to talk about.
Well, yeah, it's. Yeah. Want to have fun, learn, grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, we have got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. That is free 99. Free.
For free?
For free.
For free.
Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know that it was us.
Netflix picks, y'all. Netflix picks
panel that sent you Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Go ahead and check it out.
It's actually a really great podcast, you guys. I didn't even subscribe to podcasts until, we've been talking about it so much on the show. I subscribed. I downloaded. I really, really enjoy it. She has great guests on. I don't have Sirius XM, so it's great that, I can listen to it.
I like that, too.
Yeah. And she really does have amazing topics on, and she also has a newsletter.
What I think, too, is, you guys should tune into it, because at some point, she'll probably sit there and say, because of Netflix picks, I didn't watch the week of, so.
Yeah. Rue was bad. We're excited for the day.
She's got so many.
I have started many an email thread to try to get that kind of synergy.
Oh, well.
All right, so.
We've all been on them.
No, but. So those are the Netflix produced movies, mm-hmm. and this was kind of Netflix produced, but kind of not. And something that they just put a twist on was the most recent season of Arrested Development.
Yes.
Oh, this was amazing.
The continuation. So in its original form, which you can get on Netflix, but you have to go searching for it.
Ooh.
They cut it up by character.
Oh, really?
So each episode was one character, and you followed it. And then they drop these little morsels about how the whole story comes together.
Uh-huh.
Mitch Hurwitz recut it to look like the original kind of way that they did the show with all the stuff spliced in. So they just redropped it, recut. So if you didn't like that version, if you didn't like that version, which I didn't, and I didn't actually make it through that season, now I'm going to be watching because it's going to be more understandable.
Okay. Now, also, he more than recut it. Because that original season 4 was 15 episodes, and this recut season is 23 episodes. So he extended a lot of his bits. There's a lot of extra, like there's easily 3 to 5 minutes of extra content per episode. And I'm about more than midway through, like probably 12 or 13, and I am about this.
Okay, so
great.
As a first time, yeah.
Sorry.
Get ready. Get ready, guys, because I have not seen a single episode of Arrested Development.
What?
So start at the top. I knew that was coming. So am I going to like that? Is this going to be easier for me to digest this way?
You should. Well, actually,
you haven't seen season one, episode one.
I have not seen season, no.
You got to keep in mind, in its original, when it originally aired, mm-hmm. it was on Fox.
Okay.
Season one is amazing.
Okay.
Season two, not bad. Season three, at that point, they knew that they were going to be canceled. So they really decided just to go off the rails and make a lot of jokes about. But season four, which dropped on Netflix.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen it. Steve has.
Yes.
So must go back to the original form. So I would say, yes, go back and digest. That at three, it might seem a little weird because it was on the network, they were already saying that this isn't, we're not getting a lot of high ratings. It's probably going to get canceled.
Well, it was kind of like the back 8 or 7 episodes of season 3 of Arrested Development had a lot of meta jokes based around the fact that Fox is going to cancel them. They were well aware, and then they ended it in a place where the story felt like it had closure. I actually will say the way he recut season 4 was partially because season 5 is announced and they're shooting it. Like season 5 is going to be very soon. I think it's well more than announced.
Okay, so there's only 5 seasons. I cannot.
There are only four seasons. Currently, there's only 4.
I cannot get into another bender.
They're like 22 minute episodes.
Okay,
but maybe not season 4, but seasons 1 through 3.
Okay,
and they're going to keep continuing it but not at a rate like a normal show would drop, where it's like every fall that there needs to be a new season. I'm sure this one's also based on availability of characters.
Yeah,
and season 1. 100% you should watch.
Okay. Is it on Netflix? Can we confirm?
It's all on Netflix.
It's all on Netflix.
Okay, so, great.
But I'm pointing out that the season 4 remix, part of what he did to recut those episodes was they essentially fade to white and then fade from white in segment breaks because he wants to be able to syndicate those 23 episodes alongside the season 1, 2, and 3 episodes that aired on Fox.
Oh, okay.
So, and part of that is he follows the traditional television structure. So he does a lot of flashbacks within the season, and like when he flashes back to seasons 1, 2, and 3, there's an in joke that when you flash back, it actually says "Property of 20th Century Fox."
Oh my god, funny!
The show is so meta. Like,
that's
I am happy for you that you get to enjoy comedy at its absolute best. But I would argue that
if you started at season four, episode one,
they would actually do an incredible job of filling you in.
Oh, okay.
But it would still be worth. If you have the time,
you have to
start
back
at 1-1.
Okay. I know.
And it's worth it. Just understanding that season 3 might seem a little weird.
I feel shame.
But that's why.
Okay. Done. Noted. Because my big announcement, I teased the guys before we came on tonight. I said, I have a big announcement. For those of you who are just waiting on your seats, like I know you must be. I did it. I finished all 7 seasons of Shameless on Netflix. And I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but those episodes are freaking heavy. And I know there's the beauty about the 7 that are on Netflix right now. Do you guys watch Shameless at all?
Familiar.
Have you watched it?
I watched a couple episodes of the first season. It didn't catch me.
It didn't get, but probably because it was a tone thing. You didn't know if it was supposed to be funny or if it was actually a drama. I didn't really catch on that it was like this ironic dramedy until a couple of episodes in, but I was very compelled to keep watching. And then I got like addicted, big, bad. It was like taking over my life. But finally, when I was laid up in bed, I got through all of them. And there's more than, I think there's eight seasons available, but only on Netflix there's only 7. And what I like about that is it bookends so nice from 1 to 7. It ends in a beautiful place on 7, and I'm not going to touch any more Shameless because I can't get pulled back in. So that's why I'm asking, like, if Arrested Development has a ton of seasons, because it was It was months of my life. It took a very long
time. Well, Arrested Development has an incredible rewatchability factor.
Okay.
It's jokes upon jokes upon jokes upon jokes. Like, okay. It's a very meta show.
That's the one with the frozen banana, right? Everybody's always talking about the frozen banana.
Okay. Well, they had a banana stand.
Or a banana stand, yeah.
So, there's a lot. It's so good.
It's on my list. I must watch. Anyway, thank you all for celebrating with me.
Yes, that I'm done with Shameless. Excited for you.
It's a big moment.
Well, something else that popped in that I have not seen, but I plan on watching, is Despicable Me 3. And I like Despicable Me, the first one.
The first one was great.
I did not like the second one. That's why it's there for you guys to consume. It's there, but I think one of the reasons I haven't run to it yet is because I did not enjoy 2. And it seems like sometimes these movies that the animated movies that get the sequels and the third, it just like in regular movies kind of goes downhill. Although this one, I believe, has Kristen Wiig as like he gets a girlfriend, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't see, but I don't know if you watched. If Amy was here, she probably could sit there and say.
I watched some of it.
I remember.
I watched about 20 minutes of it.
Despicable Me 3.
Yeah.
Wow. And you didn't like it.
Here's the thing, though. I am not a huge fan of animation. Did you guys hear that Skype call?
Who's calling us?
Or was that just in my head?
Is that for us?
Okay. Oh, really? Well, I was like, is that Amy Cassandra Martinez from the Netflix red carpet right now calling us? Trying to FaceTime would have been like, great.
It would have been awesome.
But
no, so with Despicable Me, I like the franchise. I've been lucky enough to know people. I worked in animation for a very long time. And I think for that reason, it's kind of a... I feel like work when I watch animation, so it's just like it's kind of
PTSD.
PTSD a little bit.
Really?
So I think we all know what you're getting into with Despicable Me. It's a great movie to watch together as a family. It's very family friendly. If that's like if you've got kids and you want to put something on, I don't know how it works when you guys have kids, but like at nighttime on a Sunday or in the morning on a Sunday or on whatever day of the week, it's totally safe and there's some jokes in there and it's funny and it's cute and Kristen Wiig is always great and Steve Carell obviously is always. Awesome, but I'm with you too. Put a kind of bad taste in my mouth. Despicable Me too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of slow.
But at the same time, too, like Minions was awful.
Well, the Minions.
I didn't even see Minions.
Well, I think Despicable Me 2 was announced. Which, first off, proper grammar. If you want to teach kids proper grammar, you should have called it Despicable Me as well. But that's just me being cute and punny. They announced the Despicable Me 2 around the same time that they announced a Minions movie. Which already put a taste in your mouth that like, oh, they had an overperforming Despicable Me, and now they're like, oh, cool, cash grab.
Yeah.
Despicable Me 3 was probably acceptable because Despicable Me, I think the bar was so low.
Yeah, and I think
it cleared the low bar.
Yeah. With the animation too, you do run the risk. Like, look at Toy Story. Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3. Hello, best. It was the best of all of them.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening with Despicable Me, but
they're doing a Toy Story 4.
Which is a mistake.
Soulless cash grab.
Yeah.
Good thing they're toys.
Yeah, it's a mistake. It's a studio run by a man that doesn't know how to quit. That's as nice as I can say.
Well said.
Yes, thank you. Anyway, Despicable Me 3 was 20 minutes of it were fine, and I think a family would enjoy it. But it's like Alexa and Katie. It's like Disney programming. I know what you're getting into. It's not my genre. It's not something that I'm super willing to dedicate a lot of time to.
Hey, what do you guys think? Why don't you guys comment below, and I'll get Amy Cassandra Martinez to talk about it next week or see what she has to say down in the comments. And speaking of, you know where else you can find us is on iTunes. Download us. Give us 5 stars because the other ones don't work. So if you don't want to be looking at us, but you're driving around somewhere, you can always download and listen to us to say, hey, this is what I should be watching. This is what I shouldn't be watching. And so there you go.
iTunes. That's where to find us.
All the things.
Hey, Steve, so you watched probably an independent movie. Like, it's not an old TV series. It's not Netflix produced. Probably an indie.
It was
Kodachrome.
Kodachrome. It was by Mark Rasso. He premiered it at the Toronto Film Festival last September. Netflix bought it, and that's why we have it now. Starting April 20th, we've had it. This was wonderful.
I actually can concur. I haven't finished it yet.
So it's Elizabeth Olsen, it's Jason Sudeikis, and Ed Harris. I am about 15 minutes in. But, of course, I always have to watch all this other stuff. So that's why I was like, I'll leave it to these guys to tell you guys how this one is.
I can tell you it passes my 20-minute test for sure. Yeah.
And I also, one thing I do want to point out, that Elizabeth Olsen's character, Zoe Kern is the name of the character, was written to be pretty much one-dimensional manic pixie dream girl. And then Elizabeth Olsen pretty much picks it up and is like, yes. nope, this is going to be a fully formed person.
Good.
Just the words on the page.
Yeah.
It was kind of masterful to watch her pick something, like prop something up like that.
Yeah, I just came off of watching Avengers this weekend in the theater. Hello, movie pals. So it was so funny to see her go from like this superhero character to her character in Kodachrome.
Mm-hmm.
And she's great. She's really, I mean, of the Olsen
she is
girls.
She's the talented Olsen.
She's the talented Olsen.
Yeah, I mean, they did kid stuff and then retired. They're like Macaulay Culkin.
They made their
tons of money and now they're just chilling.
Well, no, I mean, they still work in fashion. They're still very
No. I mean, but in terms of acting.
Yeah. No, but I mean, and also Elizabeth Olsen, there's another film. Would you do me a huge favor? I'm sure it's not on Netflix, but if you could check while we're here. It's called
Martha Marcy May Marlene.
Oh my gosh.
That was her debut.
Mind blown. I doubt that it's on Netflix, but it is such a good film. Another film that she's in, Wind River, was that coming up on Netflix?
Yeah, that one's on Netflix that I watched. Yes, it was great.
You enjoyed
that. Very, 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 very good.
Yeah.
That's a high recommend. Her and Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
You'll learn something about politics or just life or like that type of living.
I definitely want her career while I'm looking at it, because if you just type her name into Netflix, it's Wind River, Kodachrome,
and then like
Marvel Civil War.
Marvel
Captain America Civil War. I'm like, I want that career.
Well, she's also in the remake of Old Boy.
She's amazing in that. Like,
there's many reasons she's amazing in that.
She's an amazing actress in that. The Josh Brolin, Spike Lee directed, right? I'm not making that up. It was Spike Lee directed an Old Boy with Elizabeth Olsen and Josh
Brolin. A remake of a Korean film that was awesome. So she's
good. Are either of the Old Boys on Netflix?
Anyway, so to that Elizabeth Olsen train, Kodachrome, definitely worth a watch, and Wind River, both on Netflix.
Mm.
Get it. They're good. They're great. I want to finish watching Kodachrome as either a date movie, but I think actually my dude is into sci-fi, so I'm excited to watch
Anon.
It feels like a little bit Westworld. Like Sunday night's supposed to be Westworld, so either Westworld or Anon could be like a whole night thing.
Or both, yeah. Do both. I mean, someone in our chat actually said that, like the comparative thing we were doing, someone in the chat had said Westworld.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Let me Apple Thanks, F if you'll let me, and I'll find who exactly said it.
I think it was Xavier.
I could spell
thank
West.
Thank you for the Westworld comparison.
Yes, Xavier Jones Jr. in the chat. There are two Xaviers in the chat. Xavier Clark and Xavier Jones Jr.
Interesting.
Xavier.
We know Xavier Jones Jr., so welcome Xavier Clark. Okay.
Nice. Hi, Xavier. And do you say Xavier or Xavier?
Xavier? That's...
Try and phonetically tell us in the chat.
Please. And actually, there are two of them in the chat.
Either one. I would love it if
who else is in the chat? Let's give them shout-outs right now.
SerenityQ26 is in the chat.
Wow, Serenity's actually in the chat. Amazing.
Zaphod is in the chat. Zaphod703 is in the chat. Star Drew, obviously, in the chat. Already got their shout-out.
Mm-hmm.
Both the Xaviers, however it is said. And I think that's about it. Yep. Good people in the chat doing all the work.
I'm gonna mix this up for just a quick second, since Serenity's actually in the chat, because this is something Serenity loves. And so I'm going to like announce this right now, which I'm sure you know, but the official title for Sabrina the Teenage Witch for Netflix is called Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And you guys can probably see the picture. Karen Shipka from Mad Men. She's there. Brilliant casting for her.
She's great. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited. Big fan of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
It's going to be completely different, though.
But I'm excited for the second iteration, especially when casting Kiernan Shipka. That puts a lot of faith. I'm excited.
And she's actually kind of the age. I think she's like 16, like just the age that Sabrina
is. She still has some time to grow. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas mostly Joan Hart, I think, was already in her early 20s.
In real life? Oh, yeah. But that's, you know, all actors play.
But I think comparatively, Kiernan Shipka and Melissa Joan Hart share the fact that they grew up in the business.
True.
And that, like, I'm sure Melissa Joan Hart by the end of the Sabrina run was executive producer of the show, and I'm sure Kiernan
Shipka. She was already producer to start.
Sure Kiernan Shipka is in a similar boat. That I think that's part of what you need for a young what you need for a young person to be the like face of a show is they need to be super mature, and that like being on Mad Men the entire run of Mad Men is probably growing up on Mad Men is probably very helpful.
Totally. And just maturing. The, yeah, just the content of that.
No, show. I mean, I guess while we're on the topic too, I mean, here's some extra news too. So 13 Reasons Why season 2 will be dropping on May 18th, which is pretty much, I guess, next.
Well, we're today's the 13th. So by the time next week, right?
Yeah, next week. Yeah. Next week. So maybe someone else. I mean, I definitely know we're going to have the after show for that here at After Buzz TV because it was huge for season one. So I will let you know. Maybe we're going to actually have maybe somebody come on to talk about it.
Be great.
So, and then what I do want to do, what I also want to do is I want to play something that's not coming out for a while, but this trailer dropped and it's gotten some hype. It's called The Innocents.
Okay.
I have not seen it yet. So I want to kind of put it on your radar now. And I think it comes out August.
Oh, so we've got some time.
Yeah, we've got time. This one isn't soon, but I figure, like, you know what? This dropped. It's been getting some hype.
Sure.
So let's do it.
Roll that footage.
We talked about this.
It's British. It's not American.
August 24th.
And you agreed.
Gives me confidence.
And that's not Zach Galifianakis.
I know. I was going to say.
Who's got Pierce, right? Girl.
Doppelganger. Okay, there's a couple.
She needs us.
Couple.
Love that song.
Is it a song that's like from
the Where Is My Mind?
Okay,
but like, it's very in to cover that song now. Leftovers.
That's Guy Pearce.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's a serious. Okay.
Since we're talking about Sabrina and like the, you know, the eerie.
Yeah, feels a little like British Stranger Things ish. More mature Stranger Things, just like older cast.
Or like a fantasy end of the freaking world.
You've got to help me.
Where is she?
Get on me, wait. Look.
Ashley, I don't know if you're gonna be watching this.
Yeah, I was gonna say, guys, I don't feel good.
Whoa, did you see that?
Okay, whoa, so for those of the people that are listening,
we just saw like a person change.
A shapeshifter situation. Okay, so it looks like there's like a little girl stuck in a fully grown man's body.
Tell me it's gonna be okay.
I'm not going anywhere.
I'm definitely watching this.
Yeah.
I'm definitely gonna be talking about this.
This is gonna be you guys.
I'm about this though. It looks great. It's my Scottish accent.
Oh boy, thank God you are not.
Teenage supernatural love story. Two teenagers, Harry and June, who run away from their repressive family to be together. After this, thrown into a journey of self-discovery due to the secrets kept by their parents, which test their love. Besides this, their respective...
No, it reminds me, this is like End of the Freaking World meets Sense8.
Yes.
And they've announced the final season for Sense8 that they're going to be dropping on Netflix as well. So if you were a fan of Sense8, by all means, I enjoyed season one. I did not watch season two other than, I think, the first episode. But they are definitely going to wrap it up. Full closure for everybody because it's been such a hit. But I think it's really, really, really expensive because of all the locations.
Hmm. Also, looks like the creator of this show was a storyboard artist on, among other things, Black Mirror and The Crown.
Hmm. Okay, yeah. British, so it's like British. Is Black Mirror British?
Black Mirror is a British show.
It started off British and then kind of went American.
It's half.
The showrunner's still British. It's been the same showrunner the whole time. That showrunner's super British.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I'm excited to. Yeah, I'm excited for this. August 24th.
Looks a little scary.
Yeah.
Looks scary.
All right. So before we log off. Ashley, what do you think? What top three? What do you think you're going to be watching?
My top
three. Or like you want to tell people to watch?
Oh, well, I would love to tell you guys what I finished the past week. Shameless brought me great joy. If you have not, if you are way behind the times like me, and you're just know that you're getting into it, it's a dramedy. It's comma and dramedy. I'm doling out one a week with the chef's table, and I'm loving it.
That's fine.
It's my treat.
Yeah. You don't need to, otherwise you're going to be.
It's my treat one a week, and I made. ironically enough, today I made some beautiful cinnamon rolls while watching Chef's Table, and it was
and like the selfish chick that she is, harmony. She did not bring any the pan in was for
too hot.
Us.
The pan was too hot, you guys. The pan was the too pan hot. Was but too I'll hot, show you pictures right. for proof. And then lastly, another pick that I love. If you haven't seen it, Jack Whitehall travels with my father. Mm. Oh, it is so funny. It's cool because it satisfies a little bit of the travel bug. They go. It's Jack Whitehall's this comedian from the UK. He's a funny guy, and his dad is like this stodgy, really like doesn't want to leave the comfort of his own home type guy. And the two of them set off on some adventures, and it is a pretty classic. There's a slapping scene. There's a Thai slapping scene that's that had me hurting so hard my sides hurt. Laughing so hard my sides hurt. I can talk. Jack Whitehall travels with my father. That's my third and final pick. It's a good one.
Mm. For me, I'm going to finish Anon. Should say it right here. I'm about that many through 32 minutes of the 100 minutes in Anon. So I'm
okay,
but I'm far enough in where I know I'm going to love that. I'm also going to finish Arrested Development. I'm only on 14 of the 22. I said 23 earlier. I meant 22. I'm also going to recommend something I'm two episodes into, which is Black Lightning. It's the CW.
Oh, that's what I was going to jump on.
So
that's
good.
Great.
So
that's
sorry.
What I was jump on. That's great.
So good.
Two recs for Black Lightning. Okay.
So there's two recs for Black Lightning. Y'all should get on Black Lightning.
What's Black Lightning about?
Black Lightning is about it is a black superhero in a town where he's a superhero who is the principal of a high school. Before awesome. He was the principal of the high school, he was a superhero called Black Lightning, and he was able to harness the power of lightning somehow through him. Okay. He used that to fight inequality. He used that to fight inequality and then realized that there was no stopping, and he became a monster and he wanted to become a better father. In the course of becoming a better father, he stopped being Black Lightning, and then the city drove into chaos. It deals with racial inequities, gang warfare,
awesome.
Vigilante justice, like all the themes that are common in any superhero show, also layered on top of the Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement. Yes, the Black Lives Matter movement. And everything that's happening in the world today is encapsulated into Black Lightning, and I could not recommend it more after only two episodes.
We've got to all stop drinking before the show. How many minutes, how long is each episode?
It's
42 minutes, right?
Yeah.
It was originally
a CW.
It's a CW show that, okay. And once CW shows stop on CW, they drop immediately to Netflix.
Yep. Which is awesome.
So, yeah, so Black Lightning popped up there. I've been meaning to watch it, so like now I'm going to be watching that along with him.
Mm.
Dear White People season 2 came out.
Yep.
Our friend Chuck...
Chuck Hayward.
Gosh, man. Like my friend, our friend Chuck Hayward, who was here for Stepsisters, is wrote at least two episodes of that.
Oh, that gives me some courage. I liked his writing style.
Yeah, so that's my recommend there. And then this movie that I am... majority of the way through, but I didn't want to talk about it until I finished watching it, called The Clapper.
The Clapper.
Which is Ed Helms.
Please give us context.
I'm on this Amanda Seyfried kick, though, because it's Amanda Seyfried, Ed Helms, Tracy Morgan. There's some cameos in there that I don't want to spoil, but basically Ed Helms is this guy who goes on...
This looks good.
He goes on... like infomercials or something. He's like in the audience, and like he's a guy that always gets picked out.
Oh, wow, okay.
So then... a guy that plays like the Tonight Show type person. It's like, who is this guy? We want to find this guy. And so that's who Ed Helms is.
Oh, great.
So
that sounds up my alley.
Yeah. So sure. it's very light. It's very light. Okay. So
The Clapper. Like it.
Yeah.
So. Terrible title, but great.
No. You'll understand. Okay. Because you're thinking of The Clap, but that's not it. The Clapper.
Hey, who knows who's
and
to
it's
say
not,
what I'm thinking.
And it's not The Crapper either.
I just said it's just a terrible title. The Clapper. Got it.
It's a perfect Netflix title.
All right.
Because people are looking beyond the title on Netflix. I would have trouble walking into a movie theater where the marquee just said The Clapper.
The Clapper.
We live in a different time.
We do. Amen to that. We sure do.
We sure do. And we're all
Don't
we're
worry,
all,
Rick Hong.
We're all all right with it.
Yeah. So, and then, hey, guys, where can everybody find you? Ashley Chaney?
Hi, friends. It's so good to be back. I'm so happy to be in one piece. If you want to talk to me online, find me at Ashley on Camera on Instagram or Twitter. That's where I'm most active. And let's talk about what you're watching and what you're eating and where you're traveling to.
And I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them regularly, including WWE's Backlash, which we'll be covering that at 10 p.m. So in 2 hours, I have to get caught up. And yeah, I'm sure there's a big intersection of Netflix folks who want to watch WWE's Backlash, who want to watch me talk about WWE's Backlash. We're throwing out the format, so it might be amazing, might not be.
And guys, Amy Cassandra Martinez will be back next week. She is actually on a red carpet talking to all the stars of Netflix right now, so we'll hear more about that next week from her. And I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. And until next week, we'll be here, same time, same place.
It's Mother's Day next week. Don't forget your moms.
But we'll still be here.
Bye, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The Clapper. See you later, Crapper.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.